Boom, what is up? Welcome back to another episode of the FPL Draft Duo podcast. Hope you're all keeping well. This seems like one of the most important weeks in the draft so far, just because of the messages I've got in terms of like, I need a win this week. What are the best double game week players? Or four games left, I have to win two to win my league. So it's getting down to crunch time. It's a double game week. People are looking for the best players. We are going to kick it off with the waiver section. Now, actually, just before that, if you want to join myself and Jaxi in our first live stream tomorrow on Instagram, 7 o'clock, be there. We are going to be going through the team of the season, the FPL draft team of the season. So players that we've picked up in the draft that have been really good draft picks throughout the season. From 7 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to be doing that as well as answering questions. So if your question doesn't get answered on today's podcast, tune in tomorrow and we will answer it there. And send us in questions. Come say hello, how are you getting on? Could be a random question. But yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow, Instagram, FPL_draft_duo. Hopefully we'll see you there and say hello. But we're going to hit the waiver section straight up because we do have a serious amount of questions to get through. And I think laying out the waivers will make it more beneficial. So straight away, we're going to look at goalkeepers. And we're going to look at some good double game week keepers. We're going to look at some season long keepers. And some keepers that might get their chance over the next week. So season long keepers, I have three names down here. Three names that could be achievable to get. Petrovic, Flecken, Onana. Petrovic, we know, has that double game week. So he is the best in terms of fixtures. Flecken has a very good run of fixtures. Luton, Everton away, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, and then Newcastle at home. So if you have Flecken, you can nearly start him every game from now until the end of the season. They have been solid the last couple of games, picking up clean sheets. And we know Flecken has, I think it was against City, had like 12 saves or something like that. So he can always get in the money in terms of bonus points. And then Onana. Now, this is just because of United's fixtures, not because of their defence or him at all. But yeah, three of those keepers are also going to be mentioned in the question section as well. One keeper that might actually keep his place from last week based on a good performance is Fabianski. Played very, very well. Areola could be back. But even if he is back, I think because Fabianski played so well, he has a chance of staying in the nets. Now, West Ham are a team I would avoid. They are one of the worst defenses in terms of chances conceded, and they just don't look inspired at all. So even if he was playing, probably avoid. Two little gems. One that we mentioned last week, unfortunately, didn't go to plan. Murek for Burnley. Now, he had an absolute howler. If anyone watched the Brighton-Burnley game, you know what I'm talking about. Ball rolled back to him. Tried to take a touch. Totally missed it. And, you know, 3 points down to one could massively affect Burnley's chances of staying up. I still think he's going to be given the chance. I still think if you have him, you maybe hold. They play Sheffield this weekend. So, you know, if you picked him last week, you were probably going to pick him for the 2 weeks. Another goalkeeper we mentioned previously is Gerbic of Sheffield themselves. So, they have a double game week. They play Burnley and United. And then they play Newcastle, Forest, Everton and Spurs. So, not too bad from a waiver keeper. Again, you're looking for maybe one clean sheet, if at all, and a couple of save points here or there. There is one more keeper that everyone has been asking about, which I will answer in the waiver section. So, our defenders. Now, loads of people have been asking about double game week defenders here and there. I have the guts of 20 defenders on my watch list on Fantasy Football, and I'm going to go through them all because at some point I felt we need to mention them. Bottom of the list is Pedro Porro, and I know it might seem like a very, very important week. I know there's a question on Udoji as well. So if you have the likes of Porro, they blank this week, They do play Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool. I think they play City then as well. They play Arsenal, Chelsea in a double. Liverpool away. Burnley and City and then Sheffield. I wouldn't be getting rid of the players like Pedro Porro, Odoji for a double game week player. And a defender more specifically. And we'll figure out why in a while. Unless there's one glaring one in the face, I would be holding on. They got two double game weeks and two good fixtures in there. The likes of Porro, the likes of Odoji, we haven't had them this season because of clean sheets. So even though they're playing hard fixtures, I think they're worth a spot in your team. Rico Lewis. Rico Lewis was a great pick last week, but didn't return. I think he's a drop this week. I wouldn't be holding on to Rico Lewis. I know he's played 390 minutes in a row. I just think there's going to be a lot of rotation. I think there's going to be better defenders, even double game week defenders could be worth a shout over Rico Lewis this week. Stones and Walker are and could be on some waivers. Now, the problem with City boys is when did they play? How did they play? If they play. I sound like, what's that quote? Oh, it's Mourinho about United. Who do they play for if they play? Walker's also back, as I said. So Walker might be on some waivers. He might be more worth a pickup. I would be waiting until tonight, seeing the Man City team and seeing, is he on the bench? Is he starting? What is the story? Them City defenders, if you have two, I would just get rid of one. I think you can only keep one from now until the end of the season. They're going to be going in the Champions League and they have some double game weeks rotation. So even if Stones and Walker are on your waiver, I would be picking them up if you have space. If not, could be an avoid. Wan-Bissaka and Maguire I have down here and they are down the bottom just because they play Sheffield, Burnley and then Palace and then a good double game week. So United are very unconvincing. Not convincing at all at the back. They do play Sheffield and Burnley at home in a row. So like you look at these fixtures any other time in the year and you think perfect. Both of them will probably start because of the injuries. Will they get returns? Will they get clean sheets is the question. I think sometimes it's too hard to pass up even if the stats aren't in their favour. So if you are looking for a single game week player that has some good fixtures in a couple of game weeks time, Sheffield, Burnley, Palace and then a double, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka will be there. Doughty is back on our radar. So Doughty does not play a top six side in the last couple of games. One of the only teams that don't, Luton. They play Brentford, Wolves, Everton, West Ham and Fulham. A lot of these teams have been up and down this year. You don't know what to expect from the likes of Everton, West Ham. Sometimes Fulham. Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit. Fulham are the same. So I think avoiding or ignoring Doughty could be a mistake. I think you are looking for returns. You are looking for assists. But he has the ability to do that. And I know he hasn't done it in a while. But I think when you look at fixtures like that, Luton are going to be going balls to the wall. It's going to be hard to ignore. Shar is on my list because he got a little special mention on Twitter and a couple of people disagreed with me. Maybe I was overinflated by his FPL ability, but he has some great fixtures. Palace, Sheffield, Burnley, double game week and then Brentford to finish off. So any Newcastle defender that is going to be starting is going to be Emil Kraft. Brilliant. Now, what I said about Char is that he has to be in the discussion. So remember what I said. In the discussion for top 10 Premier League defenders. Now, what I base that off is he has scored, I think, 14 Premier League goals, 7 assists. So maybe I was blinded by the FPL asset of it. But I think with a couple of more seasons, I think he has to get an honourable mention. One of the best, one of the highest XG defenders of the last 5, 10 years, hopefully, if he plays maybe 3-4 more seasons. So yeah, maybe I was blinded, maybe I was. But I think by the end of his career, we'll have him in discussion. That's what I meant. Okay, if you are looking for more, and these are our final single game week players in defence, Diego Carlos, Konsa, they play Bournemouth. Are any of them Villa defenders? Lucas Digne got the start. If he's on your waiver on free kicks, I think he'd probably be the pick of them even though I hate saying that. But Konsa, Diego Carlos, Lucas Digne, great picks for 1 week game weeks. The last couple of players for 1 week game weeks are Ethan Pinnock. Ethan Pinnock is back and they're playing Luton. And I wouldn't be too hot on him only for Ayer has a flag. So that could lead, and that could be like a perfect storm where they go back to the back five. I know Zanka and Collins started the last day with the two wing backs. So it was a 4-3-3. Tony didn't even start. Thomas Frank said that Tony will be guaranteed a start against Luton. So that might, you know, give you a bit of an insight as to what they play. Probably still a 4-3-3. I know they do like to do that against kind of the lesser teams, we'll call it. So it's whether Pinnock gets in over Zanka. I think Collins actually has been rotated. He's made a couple of mistakes. I think Pinnock does come in there. And I think even if he doesn't, they play Luton, Everton, Fulham. I think he plays the next two after that. So Ethan Pinnock has been out injured for a good while since game week 25. And yeah, I expect him to come back in. So if you want Ethan Pinnock as a single game week defender against Luton, who aren't guaranteed a clean sheet, definitely not, he could be good for the next couple of game weeks. So in terms of our single game week players, I suppose the best selections, if you're looking for in a row, three fixtures in a row, United boys. If you're looking for high upside in terms of returns, Doughty is back on our watch list. Single game week then, just once off, again, Villa boys or Brentford boys. And till the end of the season, Newcastle boys are in there. So loads of options. I think my top picks would probably be Doughty. If I had to pick one from there, Doughty would probably be my man. Now, double game weeks, here we go. Let's have a look at the team. So we have Bournemouth, we have Everton, Palace, Wolves, Liverpool, Arsenal. We've loads of doublers. Now, the problem here is that nearly every team plays one tough team. So even looking at the defensive options, Senesi, Villa and Wolves. I can see Villa and Wolves both scoring. They pay both of those games away. Senesi's probably the only defender you can talk about because, again, two assists against United. That brings him to 3 goals and 4 assists this season. He's the most productive Bournemouth defender. I think if you're going with any other Bournemouth defender apart from him, you're relying on clean sheets and then I just don't know. I would nearly, if you didn't get Senesi, I'd probably be going for a single game week player. Now, if you really want a double game week player and you want someone out of position, Ashley Young, I think he got a -1 last week, -2. So he is officially our worst waiver of the year. Before that was Munoz, but we held strong on Munoz and knew he was going to come good. Ashley Young hopefully will be out of position again for the next two games. He played 90 minutes, unlike a lot of people for Everton. They had a lot of injuries. And that's why I'd be slightly hesitant about anyone else. Coleman, Brathwaite, a lot of them picked up injuries. Ben Godfrey picked up an injury. So they're going to be very, very light at the back. Don't expect Young to keep up clean sheet in either games. But if he is still playing right wing, he has that potential to get returns. Up on our kind of higher or premium or better defenders, our Palace defenders have came good. So we recommended the likes of Mitchell and Munoz heavily the last couple of weeks. And although some people mightn't have started Mitchell, didn't make a difference to the fella I was playing because he came on and bet me. Mitchell gave me the L. Bastard. Anyways, that system is just working perfectly for them Palace wingbacks. They have a double game week this week, West Ham and Newcastle. Both of them can concede, and Mitchell and Munoz are perfect players to do that. Both played very well. Now, if you are looking, and I presume both of them are taken, for a Palace defender, we have Nathaniel Clyne. Played 76 minutes the last day and was brilliant. So I expect Nathaniel Clyne to get back in there for that double game week. Now, if you're looking for other players, you know, Anderson's going to be taken. Mitchell's going to be taken. Lerma played as a left centre back and was brilliant. Ward came on. So Richards is injured. So I think Klein actually is the best one that you can actually possibly pick up on the waiver. Now, back to our double game weeks. We have our Wolves boys. Now they play Arsenal and Bournemouth, both home games, which is great to see. Here you're looking for a good result against Bournemouth and then just a couple of points against Arsenal. I think the best thing that both Palace and Wolves defenders have in common is that they have a favourable fixture after. Palace play Fulham after and Wolves play Luton after. Again, a lot of the Wolves players will be taken. Semedo, Itinori. Dawson apparently has to get some sort of surgery or might have to get some sort of surgery on his groin. So Totti, who got an assist the last day, is still an option for Wolves. Now, do we have any other options for Wolves? Let me have a quick look. Wolves defenders. Kilman, always an option. Absolute stalwart. Doherty has been playing the last couple of games. I don't know how confident I would be on him starting. So I think if I had to pick anyone, it would be, obviously, Itinori and Semedo, and then Totti or Kilman. Either of those are going to be good for that double and the game after. Top of my list, started last weekend, and hopefully we'll get the two starts, is Kanate. Best team out of everyone we've mentioned, and probably two best fixtures. Fulham and Everton. Now, both of them are away, but, Jesus, four out of Liverpool's six last games are away. And they just lost at Anfield. So, I still think Kanate will come back in there and solidify it. He has been rotated, but I think Kwanzaa's mistake might have hurt his confidence until the end of the year. I think Kanate gets definitely, obviously, starts one game. I'd like to be hopeful that he could start both. If he could start both, that could be a little gem that hasn't been taken, that has high potential for the double game week. If you're playing the long run, the likes of Mitchell, the likes of Kilman, they're nearly guaranteed three starts in the next three games. Whereas Kanate, what you're really hoping for is two starts in the next game week. So if you're going for broke, Kanate as a double game week pick, hopefully he starts both. If you're going for longer term, the Palace boys or the Wolves boys, and if you have none left and you really want to go for broke, it's a double game week player, Young or Senesi are your boys. On to our midfield selection. And again, starting from the bottom, all the players that we have to talk about. Kulusevski and Johnson. It seems like Johnson is the winner of this and he's going to consistently start. I dropped off Kulusevski myself. I think it's probably a good decision. West Ham have to get a mention because they seem, as I said, there just seems to be very little attack and threat for them without Bowen. Bowen is yellow flagged. We'll see tomorrow, if he's even in the squad. I think he's just coming back to fitness. But the likes of Paqueta and Kudus go down heavily in my estimations if Bowen doesn't play a Palace game. They have a Liverpool, Chelsea, Luton and City. You're just looking at a Luton fixture. No extra game weeks. They're nearly at the chopping block at this stage. Couple of players that caught my eye, single game week players, before we go on to our doublers. Tielemans plays Bournemouth and he has been tipping away nicely. Six assists, one goal this season. Playing very, very well for Villa. Could be a nice one game week punt. And then Barkley, as I said, Luton have a decent run of fixtures, play no big, big teams. And Barkley has been absolutely lording it this year. Five goals, five assists. I don't know. Has to be in with a shout for England. I don't know. Just straight baller. If we are looking at the last few single game week players, Jacob Murphy got the start, Barnes got the start, Palace, Sheffield, Burnley in the next three games. Could be a nice little trio. Jensen plays Luton. We talked about him the last day. And then Everton and Fulham. So even the likes of a Jensen or a Barnes could be a great pickup. And then I know he's a single game week player, but technically he's a double game week player. Conor Gallagher, who we've been raving about all year. Three goals and seven assists. Arsenal this week. But then they play Villa, Spurs, West Ham, Forest, Brighton in a double, and Bournemouth. So single game week players. Couple to choose from. I think my top players again would be Barkley, Tielemans, and Gallagher long term. Now on to our strikers. We only have a few strikers as always, and they aren't the most exciting. A couple of honourable mentions that are probably taken on waivers, but if they're not, they'll probably get a start this weekend. Gakpo will probably get possibly one start out of the two games, Fulham and Everton. I don't expect a crazy amount of changes in Liverpool, as again, they're 3-0 down to Atalanta. It depends what team they put out tomorrow night. But the fact that they lost and they need to win every game, it's not like they'll have Elliot and Gakpo and all the boys playing for one to focus on the Europa. I think Gakpo, do you know what? He could be even lucky to get a start. But yeah, if you have a spare striker spot available and you're just trying to increase the number of double game weeks, you could start him and hope that he gets some sort of return. But Jesus, they're the type of players now that could overshadow a very good single game week player. That if they're not even guaranteed to start one, and they might play 90 minutes over the two, sure, what's the difference? So Gakpo might get a start if he's on the waivers. Maybe just look at who else is there. A single game week midfielder could be better than Gakpo over the double. Now, Cunha came back with a bang. Banged me 12 points on normal fantasy. Arsenal, Bournemouth, Luton, absolute baller. Would love him until the end of the season. Players that could be available. Three players that could be available. Two double game weeks, one single game week. Calvert-Lewin, flagged again. This poor man has to retire. He's like, he's as bad as myself. Calvert-Lewin, Forest and Liverpool. If he is fit, they have some decent fixtures. They play, as I said, Forest and Liverpool in the double. And then they play Brentford, Luton, Sheffield. So if somehow he got a bit of fitness for the last few games of the season to help maybe keep them up even, that would be great. He is coming back from fitness. Apparently he's nearly there. It's just a slight hamstring injury. You never hear of a slight hamstring injury. But anyways, I think he could be a nice pick. More solid pick, Foster. Foster has been back starting the last four games in a row, playing Sheffield away. So it's a good 1 week punt. If you have a striker position that is available, nice one single game week punt. But top of the list, which is mental to think about, is McBurnie. McBurnie plays Burnley and United. One home, one away. And he's on penalties, has been playing a good bit recently, has started the last two, played 90. He actually has scored 6 goals and had 3 assists this season, which is absolutely mental to think about. So if I had to pick a double game week striker, McBurnie would be the man. Now, in our question section, which I'm getting on to, we will answer and rank an awful lot of these players. There is some players that I haven't talked about that are still fantastic options for that double game week. So I'm going to talk about that ghost goalkeeper that was mentioned at the start, and it is Dean Henderson. Loads of questions in about Dean Henderson. One of them was nearly identical. So the question was, I have Petrovic and Dubravka. Do I move Petrovic to Henderson? The next question was, I have Dubravka and Flecken. Do I move Dubravka to Henderson? So in both cases here, I would probably be moving Dubravka to Henderson. Dubravka, although is probably guaranteed another couple of games, Pope is on the return. Apparently it's going to be the end of April, probably going to be the start of May. Now, the problem here with Dubravka is that he'll probably miss out on the double, game week 37. So it's like you have him for 2 or 3 more games, and then just when he's about to play the double, Pope is back. So Henderson has the double this week. Why not just do it now? Petrovic in the first question has 2 doubles. I keep him. I'd probably try and increase the amount of doubles. If you got Henderson and Petrovic, you'd have 3 double game weeks by the end of the season. So it could be a very, very good combination of keepers. And in the bottom, I'd do the same. Dubravka to Henderson. Flecken has some great fixtures. The only problem here is that you probably want Flecken against Luton this week, but you have the double game week, Henderson, which is a very good dilemma to have. Now, moving on to our questions about defenders. Drop Doji for double game week defender. Now, again, this totally depends on where you rank the defenders I talked about. If you have a Kanate, are you going to drop a Kanate for a Doji who has a two double game weeks until the end of the season? I don't think so. If Innate Nori is available, I probably would. If a Mitchell is available, it's a possibility. But anyone else, the likes of Young or Senesi, I think in the long term, Doji gets more points. I know they have some very tough fixtures, but he has some good potential for returns. So I think the right defender, yes, but not everyone. I think a Mitchell, yeah. An Innate Nori, yeah. But an Ashley Young, definitely not. That's a keeper question. Start Onana or Pickford? That's a great question. Both of them are probably going to concede. Let me see. Double game week versus a single game week Sheffield United. I think for this, you got to spread your bets. Two chances at keeping a clean sheet. Two chances at racking up save points or even some bonus. I think you have to go Pickford and just play the double game week. That's all you can do, really. Back to our defenders. Brentford defender for a double game week player. So would you trade a Brentford defender, a wing back, I think this actually said specifically, for a double game week player? I don't think I would. I think if I had Roslev or Reguilon, I'd be keeping them. Unless, again, one of those defenders really caught your eye. It Nori, again, the only reason I'm saying him is because he's such an attacking threat and is playing out of position and just playing really, really well. You know, some players nearly trump their fixtures. And the form that Eight Nori was in before his injury trumps, you know, getting an extra 2 or 3 points or even 4 points on a single game week. Okay, do I hold Lewis? And I think we essentially answered this already. Hold Lewis or swap them for Doughty, Mitchell or Dunk. And I think if I had Lewis, I would be getting rid. You took your chance. It didn't work out against Luton. I wouldn't be like, you know, what's the word? The sunk cost fallacy. Jaxie always said it, sunk cost fallacy. I don't think I would. I'd probably be going Doughty, probably Mitchell actually, and then Doughty, and then Dunk probably down at the bottom. Doesn't have a double game week, and Brighton are slightly not great at the back. No. Questions around defenders. This is a good one, actually. Gusto. If Gusto is the top Chelsea defender, who is the next best? And that's a great question because Chelsea have two double game weeks and a lot of rotation. So a lot of opportunity to pick up some players. Now, I had a look at this and De Sassi is coming back from an injury. Chalobah played the last 290 minutes. Badiashile played 90 minutes. But I think I'm going to have to go with Thiago Silva. And not only because he started the last two and often gets a good run in the team, unlike even Chalobah and Badiashile, even though I think Chalobah could be in with the shout. The reason I like Silva is because I think he can really help steady the ship until the end of the season. And we saw that when we looked at the penalty. Absolute disgrace for Chelsea. If I was a Chelsea fan, you'd be like, oh my God, the one time we actually smash a team and this happens. So I would be going Thiago Silva because he came in as like a leader and like sorted that out. I think that even that action itself proved they need a leader. So Thiago Silva, for that reason, I think is the second best Chelsea defender. If you have space and if you're not too worried about the double game week this week, I think he could be a great pickup for the end of the season. Wan-Bissaka or Tomiyasu? I think just because Wamba's getting starts, and they have Sheffield, Burnley, Palace, and then a double. It has to be Wamba, unfortunately. Stones to Mitchell or Munoz. I probably would. Guaranteed game time, double game week. Very, very attacking. I'd probably give that a yes. And then finally, in terms of defenders, Senesi or Brathwaite. Whew, that's a tough one. I don't know. Okay, I'll answer that one tomorrow on our live. How about that? Oh, there's another very good one about Chelsea players that I'm going to answer tomorrow on at 7 o'clock, Instagram Live. Be there. Also, I want to hear people's inputs on their favourite player this year in the draft. Obviously, the likes of Palmer. Sorry, there was a question here about Palmer. where can I get an FPL draft t-shirt with Palmer on the back? Obviously, that person picked up Palmer maybe even second, third, fourth round this year. And he's just been one of the best FPL picks in recent years. You know, name another player that has been this undervalued. I don't know, was there? Hat-tricks, quadruples, double-digit hauls on the daily. I don't think there's been a better FPL pick in the last 5 years than Cole Palmer for price. And I suppose it depends on what round you picked him up in the draft as well. But tomorrow night, I'd love to hear what players have been very, very good for you this year. Maybe you've picked up a couple numerous times and they've always returned. So 7 o'clock tomorrow, Instagram, plus then bonus questions that I haven't answered tonight. On to our questions regarding midfielders. So is Richarlison a drop? And if so, do you drop him for Bailey? Michael Van Gerwen. Morgan Gibbs-White, every time. Or Andres Pereira. Richarlison, I think, is going to miss one more week. They have a blank anyways. I think this is a tough one because they have two doubles. But the doubles are against very tricky teams. And it's alright for Porro and Adoji because they're nearly nailed down when fit. But Johnson, Kulusevski, Madison, Son, they're all coming into the fray now. It might be... I know last week I said hold, but I thought he might play last week. And now the fact that he's going to miss another week, I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. If I had to pick the players to trade him for, if you were trading him, Morgan Gibbs-White, again, I always put him top because he's on penalties. A very consistent returner, as is Bailey. Bailey's like Morgan Gibbs-White, but off the bench. It's like he doesn't need... It's like a superpower. He doesn't need any time to score. Morgan Gibbs-White, even if he's not returning that well, he, you know, can give a dead ball. He can be on corners, be on penalties, and he's a great finisher. So I think I'd probably be going for the more solid Gibbs-White, just because, again, I have affiliation with him. And then, unfortunately, Andres Pereira down the bottom, even though he hauled, and is a fantastic pick regardless. On free kicks also, very good dead ball specialist. So I think any three of those could be a nice little upgrade for Richarlison if you're worried about his minutes when he comes back. If you're confident that he's going to get back in that team, maybe even up top, and Son go to left wing, then I think it's worth the wait because they do have two double game weeks. This is an interesting one. Grealish to Doku. Do I swap Grealish out for Doku? And I don't think I do that. I think Grealish gets more time from now until the end of the season than Doku. And I think I referenced that last week, that Doku is a great pickup, fantastic 1 week punt. But that's Doku. He comes round and it's nearly predicted he will start against this team. Whereas from now on, it's kind of going to go back into that similar routine or rhythm where there might be a bit of chopping and changing. And I think he actually is more comfortable with Grealish. I think Grealish actually carries out a plan better than Doku. So I think Grealish will get more time. I wouldn't be especially going from Grealish to Doku. If you wanted to go Grealish to someone else or whatever. But I think trying to find the perfect one between Grealish and Doku will be very hard. If I had to pick one, although Doku has a higher upside, I think Grealish would be a more solid pick. Two of our last questions are about Sheffield United players. Do I do Paqueta to Hamer? And the next question is, Hamer or Diaz for Sheffield United? So I just said that, I said at the start of the podcast that Paqueta, kudos, they're all going down in my estimation because Bowen's not there. If Bowen is back against Palace, there is room to argue that Paqueta deserves a spot. I'd say it was just so frustrating owning Paqueta last week with his yellow card, stupid yellow card. Very, very lucky. Could have even been worse. He seemed to lose the head a small bit. So if Bowen is back, I think Paqueta could be a hold. If it was changing to Diaz, and this kind of answers the question between who would you pick, him or Diaz, I would pick Diaz. Way more advanced in terms of positioning on the pitch and a bit more of a threat. Hamer, very, very good. Very good whip on him. But I think Diaz always has that more goal threat. I would be going Diaz over Paqueta just because West Ham don't look convincing going forward without Bowen. And when they're bad, they're really bad to watch. I had three West Ham players this week, and they're so frustrating to own. So, if it was Diaz, yeah, I don't Hamer, I think it'd be 50-50. I think if you really needed the double game week players, then yes, there's a possibility. Go to Diaz. But don't just go throwing Paqueta away because he disappointed you at the weekend. He still is potentially on pens and is just a great player all around. So that is our questions answered for this week. If you want more answered, if you want them answered live, 7 o'clock tomorrow, Instagram, FPL_draft_duo. As always, thank you very, very much for listening, and we will catch you tomorrow. Boom!